Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to Esther chapter 7 once again. I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he, and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. Then said the king, Will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, Hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. What do we have here? I'll tell you today, we're going to look at the justice of God in action. Now, beloved, whether you realize it or not, the Lord God of heaven is a just and holy God. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. But at the same time, He's a God of wrath. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of indignation. And He's a God of justice. And we find the attributes of God, the justice, the wrath of God, and the holiness of God all cry out for the destruction of the sinner who's without Christ. The love and the mercy and the long-suffering of God cry out for the salvation of the sinner. And for God to be satisfied, every attribute has to be satisfied. In other words, His justice had to be satisfied. His love has to be satisfied. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. Christ Jesus satisfied all the demands of God made against every sinner. And He did that by becoming the sinner Himself. For when He died as a sinner before the Lord God, cursed by the law and hung on a tree. And everyone that's hanged on a tree, the Bible says, he's cursed of God. Now I tell you all these things because people today have the silly idea that God will not punish sin. My friend, God will punish sin. Righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. And we find the Lord God of heaven warns us. And I tell you right now, that where there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. And the only way the individual is going to escape from being in hell is come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you're going to have a personal experience with the Lord. Now hold your seat. As Haman experienced these things physically, you and I, when God sets out to save us, experience some of them spiritually. Now what are you talking about? We find very clearly, listen to what it says. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Now what in the world do you have here? All right, the king hates sin. And are you listening? When the justice of God falls upon the individual, there are these aspects to it. Because God's justice is a holy justice, and God's justice is a just justice. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. And I want you to listen like never before. Every one of us are going to fulfill the purpose of God. Every individual that lives on the face of this earth has a purpose of God to fulfill. And what is that? Well, we find very clearly, God put us down here, number one, to get to know Him and His salvation. And the average individual today doesn't want to know anything about the Lord God of heaven. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that means that you can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't pray your way to heaven. And I'll tell you something else. You can't preach your way to heaven or worship your way to heaven either. We find there has to be a personal relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the justice of God in action, we find, first of all, it's sovereign in its bestowment. Now, hold your seat as I give you these truths. The justice of God was against Haman, but not against the king or Esther. And Haman didn't know that. And the justice of God is a sovereign justice. It's sovereign in its bestowment. God doesn't send his justice upon every individual right away. There are classic examples in the scripture of the long-suffering of God before he put them in hell where they belong. And we find, my friend, you and I don't deserve to be in heaven at this hour. We deserve to be in hell because by rights we're nothing but a poor lost sinner. And when God shows us that condition, I'll tell you right now, we cry out because of it and we cry for mercy. And the Lord God of heaven gives to us mercy. He's not only a just God, but he's a merciful God. Now in the justice of God, remember one thing, it's sovereign in his bestowment. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. All right, the justice of the king, Ahasuerus, fell upon Haman and upon Haman alone, setting forth that the justice of God is a sovereign justice. He bestows it on those whom he will bestow it, and he pardons those whom he will pardon. Because you see, my friend, God is a merciful and sovereign God. He does as he pleases, when he pleases, how he pleases, and with whom he pleases. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Because we find he reigns in the kingdom of heaven and on earth. And my friend, that's the God you and I need to know if you don't know him already. And that's the God, hallelujah, that I do know. He's a marvelous, wonderful God. We find the justice of God in action is what? Number one, sovereign in his bestowment. And also, it's commanded by the king. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about? In verse 9, then the king said, hang him thereon. They didn't hang Haman until the king gave the command to hang him. And are you listening? The justice of God will not fall upon you until the Lord God of heaven gives a command for it to be done. And you and I don't know when that's going to be. That's why it's so important for us to come to know and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the justice of God in action is sovereign in his bestowment. It's commanded by the king, and right here it concerned only Haman. But are you listening? The justice of God concerns the whole world at this present hour. Now let me show you that if I may. Turn, if you will, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, and we find beginning at verse 30 down through verse 31, the Lord God of heaven brings out this word. Listen to it if you will. Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 30, and listen to it. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now why? Because listen now, here's the reason. He commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Now what do you have here? That man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you this question. Do you know him as your Lord and your Savior at this hour? Oh, I hope and pray that you do, because otherwise the justice of God may fall upon you, because number one, the justice of God is sovereign in his bestowment. Secondly, it is sweeping in his indictment. Now I want you to notice, Haman was indicted by Queen Esther. Because this is what happened. Esther said these words, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Now listen carefully. King Ahasuerus knew what was going on, because he asked this question. All right? Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? So you see, it's sweeping in its indictment. The king Ahasuerus had examined the facts by the king, by what Haman had done. Haman had caused the king to sign a decree whereby all the Jews were to be destroyed on the 13th day of the 12th month. And we find the king knew that. And we find, listen, in the justice of God, it's sweeping in its indictment. The facts were examined by the king. And then the full import of the wrath of the king was known to Haman. Well, how do you know? Because in verse 7, Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. The full import of the wrath is known by the individual. And at the great white throne judgment, every individual who's without Christ is going to stand there. And they're going to know the full import of the wrath of God registered against them personally. The Lamb's Book of Life will be opened. Their name will not be found in that Lamb's Book of Life. They'll be judged according to their works and according to what they've done. And we find very clearly what happens. They'll be judged and they'll be put into hell, because the full import of the wrath is known to the individual. It will be known by you at the great white throne judgment, or else you've tasted a little of it when God dealt with us in Holy Spirit conviction. And all right, Haman was brought the whole thing. The full import of the wrath was made known to him. And I'll tell you right now, has also tasted a little bit by the individual under conviction. Oh, you say, well, preacher, can you find that in the Bible? I most certainly can. So take your Bibles, if you will, and you turn with me to Psalm chapter 38 and listen to what it says. Here's a sinner under conviction, and this is the cry of that sinner under conviction. And this is what that sinner knows beyond a shadow of a doubt of what he is guilty of. Psalm chapter 38. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. What are those arrows? The arrows of conviction, the arrows of God's justice, as well as the arrow also of the law of God. And what does it do? It goes into the heart of the individual. And then notice what happens. For thy arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are going over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. And beloved, that's what a sinner faces under Holy Spirit conviction. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do, because I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Before you taste the love of God, you're going to taste a little bit of the wrath of God. And in the justice of God in action, we find it was commanded by the king, concerned only Haman, and we find, are you listening? It was also sweeping in its indictment. The facts were known by the king with regard to Haman, and Haman also knew the facts that were known to the king, and that he stood before the king there as a guilty, guilty sinner. And then we find also it was swift, I should say, in its accomplishment. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right. Haman came to that party. He was proud and arrogant and expected the people to bow down to him. And also, he was more or less expecting King Ahasuerus also, you might say, to promote him even more. But such was not the case. Because, you see, the justice of God was swift in its accomplishment. It came upon Haman unexpected, because we find very clearly Haman stood up to make request of the king. So he saw that the king was angry with him. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, you listen. Haman knew that. And we find, are you listening? He tried to beg Esther to save him. And are you listening? There's a lot of people today that are trying to beg the Lord God of heaven to save them. But God will not save you except on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's swift. The justice of God is swift in its accomplishment. It's unexpected by the individual. It's unprepared to meet it, because Haman was not ready to meet it. And then it was severe in its fulfillment. Now what happened? All right, I want you to notice, if you will, in verse 14. Notice what it says, and we see it set forth. And then we find this is the word of God. Esther bade them to return to Mordecai, and we find, I'm reading it in Esther chapter 7. Look at what it says in verse 8. As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now here's the severity of the fulfillment of the justice of God. What does it do? There comes the covering of the face of the individual. In other words, God doesn't want to look on that individual any longer. And when the command is given to send that individual to hell, and rest assured of one thing, it is given, all right, we find very clearly God commands that that individual not be seen anymore by the Lord God of heaven. The justice of God is severe in its fulfillment. There's a covering of the face. God cannot look upon sin. And the only way God can look upon you and me is through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, I hope and pray that you know Him. Because if you don't, when the justice of God falls, it'll be sweeping in its indictment, all right, swift in its accomplishment, and severe in its fulfillment. All right? What happened to Haman? We find in verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. And what do you have here? The severity of God's justice. There was a covering of the face, and then also the consignment unto death was immediate. And are you listening? It was also seen by the redeemed. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Esther saw what happened to Haman. She saw him as the king covered his face and took him up, and she heard what the king said, hang him thereon. Now hold your seat, if you will. Are you listening? This is also a picture of the great white throne judgment, and the saints will be at the great white throne judgment, and they'll watch individuals be sentenced and die and go to hell. Now someone might say, oh, now preacher, wait a minute. You don't expect me to believe that. We better believe it, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we have these words. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world be judged by you, are you not unworthy to judge smaller matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because you see, I believe in the Word of God teaches it. What is it? At the great white throne judgment, the saints of God will be seated alongside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that stand before God, unsaved and condemned, they'll look upon those saints and they'll be made to remember what they have done to those saints, whether it was good or evil. And then we find also the Lamb's Book of Life will be opened. Their name will not be found there, and they'll be taken by the angels and cast into the lake of fire, which is hell itself. And are you listening? The saints of God are going to witness it. Oh, my friend, this is an also thing. And I hope and pray that you're ready to meet the Lord. You see, right now, the Lord God of heaven is sparing you. Right now, you have the opportunity to listen to this voice, feeble as it is, and it sets forth the truth of God. And my hope and my prayer is as the message has been indicted by the Lord God of heaven, and it will stir your heart like never before. Because I want to ask you this question. Where would you to go right now if you were to die at this next moment? Would you go to heaven, or would you go to hell? Now, don't tell me, well, I hope I'd go to heaven, because that's not good enough. Because, you see, salvation is not a hope-so. Salvation is a reality. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And when God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My time is just about gone, but I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Haman was not ready. And my friend, if you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour, and if you don't know him as your Lord and your Savior, then put it down. You're not ready to go out into eternity either. I don't know when you're going to go. God may send you to hell the next moment. He's doing that to people today. And people have said, well, God's too kind and loving and merciful to send people to hell. No, my friend, God is merciful and kind and loving. But sinners will sin away their day of grace. That's what Haman did here with regard to the king Ahasuerus. And there was nothing left for him but the judgment of God. Oh, sinner today, if you're hearing me, may I ask you these questions. Turn to the Lord. Do you know him? If not, turn to him right there and right now and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you are the sinner. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Nortier saying goodbye. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.